I've written on the board, handling differences. Maybe it would have been better to say responding to differences. I have this topic that's been on my heart for quite a while now, and I trust that it's something that you have an interest in, and that this evening the Lord would meet with us and give us wisdom and understanding, and that it would be the voice of the Spirit that speaks and not mine, and that you would yield your hearts and your attention to the service tonight. We spent, I guess, 4 Sunday evenings speaking about and talking together about our worship service and practice. We covered singing, praying, teaching, preaching, exhorting, and also being present or not being present. Present in body and in spirit, or perhaps present in body but not in spirit. Well, this evening I don't have any intention of going back through those items, but this evening I am impressed to consider a situation that all of us may encounter sometime in the course of our lives when we hear teaching, preaching, exhorting. We've spent a lot of time, many of us here tonight have spent a lot of time throughout the course of our lives coming to service. We've heard a lot of messages. We've heard a lot of things taught, not just from the pulpit, but we've heard a lot of things taught at home, outside of church. And today's world, there are many, many things that are being taught that we have much access, easy access to. And there is a lot that's listened to by many. And this evening, I'm thinking about how we should respond or handle teaching, preaching, exhorting when we encounter something that is taught that is different than what we currently understand or where our values and our beliefs currently lie. Has that ever happened to you throughout the course of your life? Have you ever been in church and something's taught? Or maybe somebody that you've known for a long time or a group of people has taught something that's not where you are. Maybe that's not what you see. It's not what you understand. I suspect that it has been something that we have, many of us, encountered. And tonight I'm thinking a little bit as a preface about the Jews when they faced Jesus. When he came to bring them the fullness of the truth, they so strongly believed and held and had been taught not just the written law, but they had also been strongly taught oral law as well. Those things that for a long time, actually before Jesus came, I don't know that it was even written down at that time, maybe after the destruction of Jerusalem. But they held to the written law and to an oral law that had been passed down for many, 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 many years. And it was ingrained in their minds, and and in their hearts. And so when Jesus came and Jesus began to bring out the fullness of the truth, it was a most difficult thing for them to be able to understand and to grasp, even though it was Christ that was bringing the light. Many of the Jews were taught from a very young age. I've read different ages, but it's all very close. Before 10, 5, 6, 7 years old, when they were yet children, many of the Jewish children were taught and began to memorize parts of not only the Torah, which was the first 5 books of the Bible, basically the books of Moses, but also which was what was called the Talmud. And the Talmud was the oral law. They had the written law that was written down. They probably didn't call it maybe a pen, but they had it written. But then they had what was called the oral law. And it was those things that were passed down from generation to generation to generation that accompanied the written law. In some cases, extrapolated from the written law. And so the written law says this, and what that means in practice is this. And it was in addition to the written law. Now the Pharisees were a sect that were very much aligned with the Torah and the Talmud. The Sadducees were more directed towards the written law. But the Jews, many of them being taught and ingrained from a very young age, were taught so many of these oral traditional things that were originally meant to accompany and to support the written law, that they could hardly hear anything different than that. And in fact, got to the place where they began to hold the oral law that wasn't written, but it was the oral law, up equally with the written law. And it began to get them into trouble. And that's a risky place. It's risky for us, folks, to get in a place where we begin to hold oral laws or traditions or things that are outside of the scripture and begin to give those things equal and more weight than what the scriptures itself spells out. An example. Jesus told the Pharisees in the 15th chapter of Matthew, he said, "For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death." Well, let me go to the third verse. He was reproving the Pharisees and the scribes for their transgressions. And he said, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." And what that seems to be saying was, well, it became a tradition that, and it looked like a holy thing, if they would take their goods, their material means, and say that they were going to give it as a gift to God and to the temple. But what appears happened is that they would commit it to the temple and to God to be given to the temple after they died. which would then give them the use of it throughout the course of their life. And so it then wouldn't go to help their mother and their father, and they would be deprived of that. But it was a tradition. It was something that was an accepted written or oral law, rather. And so it was looked at as something that was spiritual and religious to say, well, what I have, I'm going to give it to the Lord. Looked like, on the face of it, a good thing. But what happened was, is they began to give those things more and more and more credence, and in doing so, went right past the written law of the Lord, what God wanted them to do no matter what. And Jesus called them out on it and said, "You, by your own traditions, you're violating actually the commandment of the Lord. I don't want to get in this place, do you?" This is one of the reasons why the Jews had such a difficult time being able to grasp the light of the gospel that Jesus Christ brought. Because from a very early age, from children, they were taught to believe and to learn and to quote not only the written law, the Torah, but also the oral law that wasn't written until years later, but it was passed down from one person to another person to another person, and there were a few people that would pass these things down and teach, and then it would supplement the written law. And so from a very early age, children were exposed to the traditions, to the oral law. They then began to have awareness of those things, which then led to an understanding of those oral traditions, those things that originally, no doubt, were meant to supplement the written law. And then eventually, as they began to learn the oral law, they then began to internalize those things and committed themselves to it. And maybe to help, I want to write that down. Oftentimes in our lives too, this is how we learn, and also it's how our conscience oftentimes is formed. And the first thing that happens is we become aware. Something's put in front of us. First thing is we're exposed to it. We'll put that first. Can't become aware of something that you're not exposed to. And so we become exposed to something. From an early age, we're exposed to things that we really don't even have an awareness that it's there. But one day, as we get older, these things that we're exposed to, in this case, it was the oral law, the Talmud, then they became aware of it. And with time, they began to have understanding of the things that they were being taught. Just as we do. And then as time passes, you begin to gain increased understanding and you internalize those things in your own lives and in your own mind and in your own heart. And you come to decision points. Am I going to go this way or am I not? Do I believe this or do I not believe this? And we begin to commit to them. Does this look familiar? Isn't this what happens oftentimes in our lives? We're exposed, we become aware, we gain understanding. And at some point, those things that we start to understand, we internalize and commit to them. And this is what often, not always, but often begins to frame our values and our beliefs. And our values and our beliefs, they guide our thoughts.
And our thoughts influence our actions. And actions have real consequences. This process influences all of us. People say, well, I can't help how I think. It's just how I think. It's just what I believe, as if that's it. That's at the end of it. It can't be gainsaid. And yet, many times, our values and our beliefs are framed. This is how cultures are developed and framed. It's how cultures are sustained. It's because people grow up, and from a very early age, they're exposed to a way of living. They're exposed to a way of teaching, and they get old enough, they become aware of it. They gain understanding. They internalize those things. They begin to commit themselves to it, and it frames their values and their beliefs, which then guide their thoughts, which then influence their actions, and then we know that there's consequences to our actions. And so we can see the difficulty then that the Jews had when Christ brought grace and truth and brought something that was different, that was fulfilling the law. It took them another step from where they were, and yet it was different from what they had been taught and from what they had learned from a very early age. And so they had a hard time rising up and internalizing this just immediately. And folks, we're not exempt from this process either. That's why it's so important that we be very careful. This is a little bit of an aside, but be very careful what you expose yourself to. Be very careful about what you start letting into your house and into your ears and into your minds. Because after a while, you gain awareness and understanding of these things that are continually being vocalized and communicated. And often, there's a little saying that says you are what you eat. And the diet that you have often represents who you are. So it's very important that we be very careful what we expose ourselves to, because it can frame our values and our beliefs. And when your conscience, this gets into your conscience then, because when you begin to violate or go against your values and your beliefs, you can start to violate what your conscience is, and that's a pretty serious thing. That's the reason why you can create a conscience that may not be according to truth, but it's according to what you've been told is truth. Follow me so far? Does this make sense? And for a long time, the Jews, for hundreds of years, and others, but the Jews, I guess the Jews primarily, that had been given the law and then had the oral law, and they had traditions that went along with it, and they would grow up and they would say, here's what the written law says, here is the tradition, here are the things that we do to fulfill the written law and perhaps go beyond the written law. And it was passed down generation to generation, and then each year goes by, and this is what you do. You follow this. You do it this way. You do this rite, this ceremony, this observation. This is what the written law means in action in your life. And they grew up doing that. And then the Lord came along and began to show them a little bit different way. And in fact, what happened was their oral law began to stray. Their traditions, the things that they observed in their lives, began to stray away from what the written law actually said. That's a serious place to be, especially because when it pertains to spiritual things and doctrinal things and issues of the conscience, those aren't things that you just lightly push to the side. When we grow up as children in our homes and we watch things, it becomes the standard to us, doesn't it? Table manners. You grow up in a house and you always do it this way. The dishes pass from left to right. Maybe in another house, they pass from right to left. Maybe in one house, you do things with the utensils that in another house you don't do with. And when it comes time to go to bed, there's certain things you do, maybe with your children or after dinner, and in another home, it's the other way. And you grow up like that in your homes, and it becomes part of who you are. And so then when you have two people from two different homes get together and marry, just ask a young married couple that love each other if now they see everything exactly the same just because they love each other. Ask an old married couple the same question if they see everything exactly the same just because they're honest and they love each other. It doesn't normally turn out that way because we grow up and things become ingrained within us on what is right and what is true. And a lot of things when you get married, they're not issues of spiritual issues, but you can have pretty strong feelings about them and it can turn into a spiritual issue. But what about those things that are spiritual and doctrinal in nature? Do you think tonight that all of us that are here this evening, do you think that we all have reached individually and collectively a state of perfect understanding of all light and all truth, we've arrived? Do you think that's where we are? I don't think we are either. I know I'm not. I have a lot to learn. And I believe that the Lord wants to continue to lead me to additional light, additional understanding of what the Word of God means. We began to read about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, patience, meekness, temperance. Have you ever in life, all of a sudden the light clicks on and you say, oh, now I understand better what patience means. I've heard about it all this time, but now I have an increased understanding of what that means. Or love. Or temperance. Well, we read dictionary definition of temperance. But you know, sometimes the Lord wants to draw us to the place where all of a sudden He opens our eyes and He says, this is what temperance means in the fullness of light. Trusting the Lord is another one. We can so quickly move to the place where we believe we understand what it means to trust the Lord. And yet, the Lord may have light and He may have further understanding for us to know what real trust in Him means in all areas of our life. And I don't want to be in the place where, if we can agree that the Lord has additional growth for us and light, I don't want to get in the place where when I hear something that is outside of where my current values and beliefs are, and maybe it's spiritual in nature, that I am immediately closed-minded and say, that's wrong, as if I have all understanding of light. And conversely, I don't want to be in the place where somebody teaches something that is false and wrong. You know, there's a lot of people that have a way with words. And they have a way of presenting their position in such a convincing way. And I don't want to be a Christian that is not equipped to be able to handle when I hear something that is at variance with my current values and beliefs, but they say it in such a manner that I'm drawn to it and immediately veer off course and head down that route just because it sounds good. I believe tonight that the Lord wants us to be strong, capable Christians that are equipped, to be able to discern light, to know how to respond in a godly way to differences that we may encounter in a teaching, in something that is spiritual, that's doctrinal, something that maybe all of our lives we have held to it so strongly, and it almost becomes a spiritual badge of honor, a security, if you will, that this is what defines me. I want to be careful, folks, that I don't become as a Pharisee where I begin to justify my salvation and my experience based upon adherence to strongly held values and beliefs that may not even be spelled out in the scriptures, but they have a religious bent to them. Like the example that we read, that the Pharisees looked like a good thing. It looked like a spiritual thing to do, to give what they had to the Lord. And yet, in so doing, they were going against what the written law actually presented. But when the Lord came to present that to them, they were so ingrained in it, it was so imprinted in their minds, that they couldn't hardly open their minds to receive what Jesus Christ himself had for them. This evening, brothers and sisters, I want to be in the place where I can be reached by the Spirit of God. I want to have an open mind and a heart, yet I want to be strong in being sure that the way that I live is a way that doesn't just seem right to religious men or leaders or teachers or those that have passed down traditions for many, many years. But I want to be a strong Christian that is able and equipped to be able to understand why it is that I do what I do, and that it is consistent with the written law of the Lord, and that I don't let things in my life or put things on other people that are outside of what the Lord intended. Or conversely, to allow things in my life that the Scriptures clearly teach something different on. And yet, because brother or sister so-and-so have done it, or the saints have done this for years, and yet the Scripture says that we shouldn't do this, I want to be in the place that the Lord can speak to my heart, and that I am a Christian that has a relationship with Jesus Christ the Father, so that he can speak to me and get through to my heart and my mind, and that I have enough interest to look into what it is that may be different from where my current state of understanding is. I believe that the scriptures bear out that there is additional learning for us to do. The scripture says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And I don't know that we can ever get to the place where we have drawn so close that there's no more drawing close to do, that we've arrived. I believe that that is a journey that we need to continue to be on, to draw close to the Lord. The scripture said, Paul told Timothy to study, to show thyself, study, give yourself to the scripture, study to show thyself approved unto who? Men? No, approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, understanding the scriptures, not just taking pieces and parts of one scripture here and a piece or a part of another scripture here and getting from it what seems right unto me, but that I give myself to studying the scriptures and have an interest that by the help of God, I can rightly divide the word of truth, that I might be able to understand light as the Lord would have me understand light. So with this background and preface, I'd like us to consider this question for a Bible study in the future, that we would give consideration to what would a godly response, a response that God would approve of us, when we encounter a teaching, preaching, exhorting, something that is at variance with where our current values and beliefs are. How would God be most pleased for us to respond to that? That's a question I'd like to have a study on and get some input. Does the question make sense? False things can be communicated with good intent. The oral law started out, no doubt, with good intent. But after years and years and years of good intentions, no doubt, but men became involved, there is a risk that they could get off course even though their intentions were good. There's other times when people have an intent to teach something that's false. I want to be equipped to handle both of them. The Lord wants us to be strong Christians, equipped to be able to handle these things. There are times that the Lord starts us out with milk, but there comes a time where He wants us to eat meat. And if I'm in the place where I say, no, God has shown me that milk is right, and I will not go off milk, and yet it's the Lord Himself that is endeavoring to lead me to a higher place, I don't want to be in the place where I put so much stock on what I believe that I've gotten a hold of that I no longer allow the Lord to deal with my heart and my life and lead me into all truth. I believe the Lord has more light for all of us. I believe the Lord has places that He wants to call us to draw us closer, to have a greater understanding of what it is that He wants from us, that we might be good examples, that we might be able to teach truth to those that are coming behind us. I believe that we should be able to answer the tough questions. The young people that are growing up and have questions about why we do what we do, I believe the Lord wants us to be able to have a response that's biblically based, that's solid, where we can give an answer to those questions that are asked of us that goes beyond, well, that's just the way that we've always done it. The Lord wants us to have answers that are founded biblically, inspired by His Spirit, that tend to life. I don't believe that the Lord wants us to live with a cloak of darkness around us as to why we are doing what we're doing. But he wants to lead us into all understanding that it might be a personal belief that's founded upon truth, that is inspired and confirmed by the Holy Spirit, that we would have values and beliefs that are based on that, that our thoughts would then be guided by those values and beliefs as given by the Word of the Lord and the Holy Spirit, so that our actions would follow suit, so that the consequence that comes out of our lives and the fruit that is born by the way that we live is something that the Lord would say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So let's give this some thought. This is where we live. And I want to be equipped to know how to handle and to deal when I hear something that is at variance with my currently held values and beliefs and level of understanding. How would God have me respond when that happens? So maybe we could give that some thought. And on another day, ask the Lord to help us become more fully equipped to be able to live as dependable servants of the Lord that He is pleased with. Pray for me. I want to be true.